It is time for Kaleidoscope on KDOM, and today we get to talk with Liz Stahl with the University of Minnesota Extension Office. And Liz, we appreciate you taking time out. It's a busy, busy time of year.
Well, that's right. A lot of things going on right now, that's for sure.
And we're going to jump right into it. I mean, obviously, harvest. Let's talk just a little bit. You know, it seems like the beans are disappearing real fast. The corn maybe has a day or two until we really see it, but I'm starting to see some corn go away too.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's certainly been a lot of activity with soybean harvest, and we've got some corn acres coming out as well. You know, and one thing with the soybeans, as you know, most everybody should have heard by now, of course, you know, China, they typically take, you know, about a third of our U.S. soybean crop usually goes to China, but they have taken nothing, you know, so far this year. So that is really leaving some issues there, of course, with pricing. And then depending where you're on in the state, too, you know, people are having more challenges of just being able to even take that crop to market. So that's one thing. You know, a lot more people are probably looking at storing soybeans that normally might not have had to store much at all, because a lot of times people just take those to market too. So I just wanted to say a few reminders on that. You know, for soybeans and storage, they act in storage just like corn would, or very similar to corn. That would be like 2 moisture points greater. So if you've got soybeans, for example, at 13% moisture, they'll act really similar to corn about at 15% moisture. So if we think about, okay, if you're storing soybeans for up to 6 months, you want to keep that moisture content, you know, 13% or less, that's recommended. But if you're going to store those soybeans more than 6 months, then a moisture content of 11% or less is recommended. But keep in mind, you know, those safe storage times are dependent on moisture content and air temperature. So the warmer the temperatures are, that shorter the safe storage time will be. Also, the greater the moisture content. Again, that shortens that safe storage life. And one thing also to keep in mind, too, those safe storage lives of your crop, that's all cumulative. So that means that if you use up, say, about half of that safe storage life of your soybeans, you know, at a wetter moisture content, you've got about half of that safe storage life left at a lower moisture content. You don't get to start over again if you decrease that moisture content. So that's just one thing to keep in mind too. But we do have a lot of resources online about that for soybean harvest and storage. Also, North Dakota State University, they have had one of the few remaining grain storage specialists, although he's retired now too. But he had a lot of nice information online that you can still get to if you do have some more questions, because very critical thing is having safe grain storage.
Now, are there some temporary options being put together to help with bean storage with everything that's going on?
Well, that's interesting you bring that up too, yeah, because there is a really nice article again through North Dakota State University. Ken Helleving was the extension engineer that has put out a lot of this information, talking about like poly bags and things like that. You know, typically it's always ideal if you get some aeration through it, but you know, those poly bags, they don't have, really don't get aeration through that. But there is some information on that, and too, you've got to be real careful if you have, you know, some green beans in there, or you know, extra residue that can create some hot spots and, you know, things like that. Just, again, like you got to worry about with corn. So there are some temporary options, but, you know, it's not ideal, you know,
sure,
too. But yeah, it's a challenging situation right now. I guess a good way to sum that up.
So you talk about moisture in the beans. Can you go too far the other way? Can you make them too dry?
Well, that's the thing, too, when you're harvesting soybeans, because they'll change in moisture throughout the day. And so that's one thing, too, to really watch, you know, too, as you get started. Of course, as you get into the heat of the day, that moisture is going to drop. And it really does, you know, if you are able to take your soybeans to market, which, again, hopefully a lot of people are still able to do that, depending where you're at in the state. But if you're taking to market say really dry soybeans, you know, because they're sold at 13% moisture, you don't get a premium for selling extra dry soybeans, but you can get docked if they're over 13%. So that's one thing to think about since, you know, bushels per acre, you know, it's a volumetric measure. Let's say that you're selling soybeans and they come out of the field at 9% moisture, you're really losing about 4.4% of your yield because you don't have that water in that bushel. You know, that you've lost some of that. At 10% moisture, it's about a 3.3% yield loss that's coming off of there. At 11%, if you're harvesting at that, it's like a 2.25% loss. 12% moisture, you know, your yields are going to be really about like 1.14% less than they would have been if you could harvest those beans at 13%. So again, it's really a, you know, balancing act. There's not always a lot you can do about that, but if they are getting really dry in the field, of course, harvesting early in the day or later on in the day, you know, they might pick up a little bit more moisture, and that can help you out versus, again, just going through and harvesting there in the heat of the day.
Boy, that sure seems like there ought to be a, I don't know, a sliding scale or something to account for that. It seems like it'd be better the drier they were.
Well, you know, again, it's a volume thing, and you just don't get a bonus for selling extra dry soybeans.
Yeah, I guess not.
And too, you do have to watch too. If they do get really dry, you know, you can have more shatter and loss potential too. But yeah, it's a little different ball game, you know, than harvesting corn. Corn doesn't change that much, you know. Of course, that'll decrease moisture to leave it out in the field, but that moisture with soybeans that can really just change throughout one day.
Well, all right. Well, moving on then, let's talk a little bit about some of the numbers as far as corn borer and what do we got going on that way?
With corn borer, yeah, this is the time of year too. You might see some of us driving around across the countryside here. We do an annual survey and basically just trying to see if we're finding any corn borer damage out in fields. So I've been out checking a number of fields here throughout southwestern Minnesota, and we really check throughout the state. And again, you know, that's just to see if we do find some on, say, a BT hybrid. That's a red flag that we might have some resistance issues going on. Then we would likely try to collect, you know, a population of that and just find out, because we have found resistance to corn borer, they have found, you know, researchers in Canada, also Connecticut, but that's, you know, the moths are a mobile pest, so really keeping an eye out for that. So far, knock on wood, we haven't found, you know, issues here, particularly in southwestern Minnesota, but it's interesting in doing these surveys. Again, I haven't found any corn borer in fields that had BT hybrids, but I certainly have found southern rust and tar spot. Every single field I've went into has had both of those diseases this year. The tar spot, that's overall been at very low levels. I would not expect that to have had really any impact on yield at all. Southern rust, boy, some of these fields have a lot of southern rust out there. You know, that's a disease that does not overwinter in Minnesota, so who knows what's going to happen next year. But one take-home from this is, you know, anybody that applied a fungicide really early in the season, I know some people just like to do that. They're trying to get that, you know, elusive plant health benefits. But, boy, if you're applying it before tassel, that's, you know, these diseases are coming later on in the season. Those fungicides have run out of steam, and, you know, that's an added expense. And, you know, I just really, unlikely that they're going to show any yield benefit, at least due to these diseases. So that's just something to be really looking at. We do have, you know, some different trials out this year. We'll be talking about that over the winter here. But, yeah, this has just been one of those days or one of those years where, you know, we just had more moisture and the relative humidity, and we, you know, inoculum came up from the south, and we just had a number of more diseases that you can see in the corn this fall.
Well, Liz, I remember earlier in the spring when you were talking about don't get excited, don't put it on too early or you'll lose the benefit, and we're seeing that.
We certainly are, and I'm glad you remember that. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, on these tools, you know, they cost money, but resistance is always a concern, too. We want to use these products when we need them because, boy, we've had resistance issues with our herbicides, with fungicides, with insecticides, and products are just not being made at the rate that we're seeing resistance issues pop up. So we really want to preserve these tools that we have. You know, it's not just an economic thing, but, I mean, it's just a whole production thing, too, because, again, we want them to be there when we really need them.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Liz, before we let you go, anything else we need to mention?
Well, one thing I just want to mention, too, you know, just some safety reminders. We've got some really warm weather here coming up in the forecast, too, as combines going. You know, just, again, some fire safety reminders. Always keep that in mind. Have those fire extinguishers handy, you know, in the cab, outside of the cab, too. If you're out combining and you've got, you know, a windy day, hey, always a good idea to have some tillage equipment hooked up to a tractor just in case, you know, you get a field fire going. Make sure you use an air hose to blow off any of the chaff that collects on your combine, too, so it doesn't sit there and smolder, especially wherever you've got a lot of heat, you know, like around bearings and things like that. And so that's one safety tip. Plus, also, again, just a reminder to everybody, too, again, you know, keep an eye out for the big equipment, and that includes semis, too. I've seen a lot of semis going down the road, too, and, you know, you don't know how much experience some of the drivers have. Some are very experienced. Some might be really new. Give them space. Just have a little patience. Don't try to pass them when they're trying to turn, you know,
right.
Things like that, because we just want everybody to be safe and make it through this this harvest season in a safe and hopefully a profitable and productive way.
And it's always good to mention, too, you know, those guys get rolling and they go way into the middle of the night. So you never know when you may come up on a truck or a combine moving to a new field.
Well, that's right. That's certainly right. Yep. Late at night, just take your time and hold back. Yep.
And we'll have a safe and successful harvest.
That's right.
Very good. Liz Stahl, anything else we need to add today?
Well, we'll have to see how everything plays out here over the season. But we've made a pretty big start here to harvest, and it'll be rolling along till we talk again.
Very good. Well, thank you for talking with us this afternoon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. That is Liz Stahl with the University of Minnesota Extension Office, and that will do it for Kaleidoscope on KDOM.